Vayter and Shasher and Daf Gimel picking up on Beis and Beis by the bottom of the page by the Gemara. Now, we had said yesterday that there are 15 women that were going to be putter, and their tzaras are also going to be putter from going ahead and being involved in Yibam or Chalitza. Now, the question is, where do we get that from? So we're going to see on today, on Amud Beis and Gimel Amud Beis, we're going to get into where we learned this out from. It's not learned out that every single case goes out and spelt out this circumstance, but rather we learn from a pasuk that says that a man can't take his sister-in-law as a yavam. Meaning, if you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and they marry two sisters, and then what happens is that Shimon dies, Reuven can't take his wife as a yavama since she's achos ishto. It's not just a problem of eishes ach, and that is now allowed to be done because the fact that we have this thing called yibam, but his wife is now asking her from being together with her. So that is what we're going to see today. The question is, if that's the case, then in the 15 cases, why is it that we don't start with achos isha? Achos isha out of the 15 cases is case number 12. Why don't we start with this case, though, if this is actually where everything is learned out from, that this whole shtickle Torah, that they're the ones who are going to pater everything, the tzaros and the tzarosei and all that shtickle. Says Gemara, michti, kulu me achos ishto yafin. Everything is learned out from achos ishto. So listen to achos ishto bereisha. Why don't we start off with that as the first case? Why don't we just do that? Now, you may come to answer as follows. I'll say it out, then we'll read inside. And if you want to answer, that the Mishnah wanted to go in the order of severity, right? We know that there's four different punishments that have four different death penalties that can happen, different types of punishments that happen. And we have something known as Srefa and Skila and Hereg and Chenek and all that kind of stuff. And we also have kares and all different things. So we know that there's a machlokas in other places, Rabbi Shimon and others, about whether what exactly is the most chamardika avera. Is the most chamardika thing sreifa, or is the most chamardika thing, is it skila? So we're going to see that Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that sreifa is the most chamar. So if you want to answer, you know why it goes in this order and it leaves achos isha to be one of the end, and it's not one of the first cases here. The reason why it's not one of the first cases is because we're going according to order severity. And we're going according to Rabbi Shimon's opinion that Sreifa is the most chamor. And the first nine cases deal with Sreifa people. Then what ends up happening? We go a little further. So the Gemara is going to say, well, hold on one second. If that's really true, that's what we want to do, then the Mishnah should have put the case of Chamoso first. That's the mother-in-law. You know why? Because that's the makor for the cases of Sreifa. Why isn't that put first? Let's read inside now. Nakat, that is what he went with, the most chamer one, Rabbi Shimon Hidamer Srefa Chamura, Yachi, Lizzie Chamosa Resha, let it have the mother in law first. The Iker Srefa Chamosa Ksiva, that's where we learn out this concept of Srefa altogether. And furthermore, not only that, Vod, Basa Chamosa, Lizzie Kaloso. It should be that after listing the case of Srefa, it should go into the case of Kaloso. Kaloso is the daughter-in-law, which is Skila. So you want to say the most intense one is Srefa, the next one is Skila. Then why didn't you put Kaloso next, which according to Shimon is the next level of punishment? Yet we know that's at the very end of the list. So clearly don't try and answer like this. Then it's going in order of severity, since it isn't. Right? So he says, V'od, and furthermore, Basa Chamosa Lisni Kalosa, let's say that, the Basa Shefa Skila Chamura, why don't you put it over there? So we have a bit of a problem. So what is going on over here? Why is it that we don't go and put the Achos Isha to be the first case? Clearly we're not going in order. So we're going to have one answer, which we're going to reject, and then we're going to have a second answer. It's going to be a back and forth to reject it. So first we have the answer like this. Ella, Bito, Kevin Da'asir Midrasha Chavivale. The answer is that the reason why the first case is Bito, and we know it's Bito Mianu Sasso, means that he raped someone and he had a daughter, is because of the fact that it's not written explicitly, rather it's a drasha. And therefore it's more chaviv, a principle we find in many different places of Shas. When you have a drasha of something, it makes it more chaviv, more beloved. Therefore we put that case first, because that's the one which is the most chaviv. Beep, turn the page. Daf Gimel. So now the Gemara says, huh? Hold on one second. Kulanami Midrashasu. What are you talking about? Like we already explained, all the cases of Mishnah come from drashas based off Achos Isha. So therefore, there's no reason to give Bito any Kedima over anybody else. So what are you talking about? Answers the Gemara. Nihi Dilin Yibam Asin Midrasha Inichinami. When it comes to the idea of Yibam, all of them are learned out from the drushas, right? That's how you know that that they're going to be putter from chalitza, from yibam, and all that stuff. But the basic iser itself, all the arayas is actually written out explicitly, except for the iser of bito, which even its basic iser is learned out from a drasha, and therefore more chaviv, and therefore the first one on the list. And again, Rashi reminds us that we're talking about a case of bito menusaso. So nihi dilin yibum asim midrasha. You're right that in terms of the idea of yibum we learn from a drasha, but ikar isirayu behedyak sibahu, the regular isurim are written out explicitly by everything else. But bito, when it comes to a person's daughter through on a case of anus, Iker Yisur Midrash, the actual Iker of the Isur itself is a Midrash. The Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, there's a double move in order to understand this. This is a Rava goes and brings down, this is a Gezer Shava, and then we have a double Gezer Shava. Asya Hein Yahena, Asya Zima Zima. Read through Rashi to see the spell that's out beautifully. But what it means is that Hena Hena comes to teach us that they're to learn the Isur of Bito. That's number one, to tell you that a man is not allowed to be with his daughter from Anusaso. And then we have another drush of Zima Zima to learn out that the punishment is going to be Srefa. So therefore, what do? We put Bito first, because the Iker Nakuda of the Isser itself is a drush, and that's why it's more beloved, and therefore we put it first. So Asya Hina Hina, Asya Zima Zima. Good. So far, we seem pretty good, right? The only problem is that we're not done with this questioning, and therefore, answer number one is still alive, but we're about to come in for the kill. So the Gemara now flips it the other way. It says, okay, now, if it's really true, if something learned from a Joshua is chaviv, then let's put Achos Isha at the very end, because Achos Isha is explicit. It's not a drasha. Why are you putting this case number 12? It should be case number 15. Hasha Damar Kol Misadasi Midrasha Chavivule, you say it's more beloved. So listen to Achos Isha Labasaf, we'll put it at the very end. And this is a Gemara. No, there's a reason we didn't. You know why? You're right, we could have, but I did the Ayri be Isha Achvasa Tan Achoso. Because of the fact that we were making our way through the list and we were dealing with, Isurim as they pertain to sisters, so Achos Ishto is a sister matzav, so we put it over there. Says Gemara, hold on, Velisnia Lahai Bava Labasof. Then just teach all the sisters at the very end, and then we can have Achos Ishto at the very end, and everything would work out very well. Why don't you do that? So the Gemara basically concedes and says, you know what? That's a good point. There's a good point. And therefore, now we're stuck. As for the fact that we didn't do that, now is going to lead us to the question of why not. We have to come up with another reason of the order of the Mishnah. So we have answer number two, which is going to stick. Ella, Tana, Korve Nakat. The Tana was going according to the levels of relationship in terms of closeness, meaning in terms of blood relatives, blood relationships. Tana Bito, Ubas Bito, Ubas Beno. It started off by going what? And saying Bito, his daughter, through Anisasu, Ubas Bito, and the daughter of that daughter, Ubas Beno, and the daughter of the son. Right, these are all blood relatives. And then after they did that, okay, the Krovi Atzmo, the very Karuv to himself itself. And I did the Tana Shalosh Doros Lamata the day. And once it decided to go and teach the three Doros that are going below him, Tana Nami Shalosh Doros Lamata Dida. And then go and taught the parallel ones going through his wife going down. Then once we had women and taught the three generations are going down from the wife, right? In terms of like Bito, Baspito, Basbeno, and we keep going within the wife's world, we said Bas Ishto, Bas Beno, Bas Bita. Then we since we went down by the wife one, then we go up by the wife. Chamoso, the mother-in-law, Ve'im Chamoso, and the mother of the mother-in-law, Ve'im Chamiv, and then the mother of the father-in-law. Right, we would go in, and what do we do? Is Tana, Shoshadoris Lamaladida, Ve'etana, and then what ends up happening? V'tana Achoso, V'achos Imo. Why? Because now we're going back to Dekrovi Atzo, back to his blood relatives. That's his sister, Achoso. Ve'achosimo, and his mother's sister, which is Zant, the Krovei Atzmo, Vaididairi, Be'isar Achva, and then once it goes into the issue, the union of sisters, Tanachos Ishto, then it goes in and mentions Achos Ishto, which is sister. Uvedinhu, now. We have three more cases left after all this. We hit number 12 now. And those are the cases of Eishes Achiv Meimo, the wife of his brother from his mother. Eishes Achiv Shaloya Ba'olamo, the wife of his brother that wasn't yet in the world. And Kalaso, his daughter-in-law. Now, really, Kalaso should have come before Eishes Achiv Shaloya Ba'olamo, since these aren't blood relatives either. Then they should be placed in the order of severity of punishments, starting with Kalaso, which is Skila, and the other two are only Kares. I mean, it's Kares, but it's only Kares relative. However, since we were just talking about siblings, we finished that off, And then we finish off with Kalasa. Ubedin hu delikdumi la kalasa mikmei eishes achiv shalahaya ba'alama. We really should have put that one first because it's more chamor. Talomishim korva hu da'asir kalmnon is because of korva. El aidi da'ayya be'isra achva. I want to talk about the Isra of sisters. Tana eishes achiv shalahaya ba'alama. We bring in the case of the wife of the one eishes achiv that didn't come into the world yet. And also the case that we said, the wife of the person's mother, of his brother from his mother. And Vahadatana Kalasa, and then we go ahead and we mention Kalasa. Okay, now we worked on the order. Let's go on to something else. New question now. Says the Gemara, we want to know, why is the Lashon of Potros used in describe the Tsaros? It should say Asosros. Umay Iria, why does it say that the Tana Potros, we say that they're going to exempt their Tsaros from doing Yibam. List the Osos, it should say that they're Aser, right? Because Rashi says, the Mashma Paturosain, Viboyim Yabim. They're Pater, but if they want to, they're able to. What do you mean? Listne asur osur, say the asur. The havade asur saying, me'achashenu zakukos liyibam v'kaimi b'isra eishasach. Now it retains in the status of eishasach, right? So essentially, what happens over here, Rashi goes explaining out, we know that since they're not zakukos liyibam, since they're not zakuk, they're not stuck in a position never, they have to do yibam, therefore they're actually usur to actually have a relationship because of eishasach. It's in place, and therefore it's going to be usur to do yibam. So why does he use the lashon of pater? So we're going to have a first answer, it's going to get rejected, then we're going to have a second answer. I mean, not immediately, but we're going to try to keep it up, and it's not going to work. Itana, so it says, you know why we said potros and not osros? He's itana osros hava amina osr liyabim ava michatz cholza. Kamash malan. If we would have go ahead and said osros, then I would have thought that it's osr to do yibum, and that is necessary, but that it's necessary to do chalitza in order for it to be free. Kamash malan, it's not necessary to do that either. Therefore, we go and we write the lashon of putter as opposed to the lashon of usher. In fact, the Gemara, huh? But listening to Asura Lachlos, the Mishnah could have simply said that it's usher for them to do yibam, and just say that somebody would say that's usher to do chalitza. If you would have said that it's usher to do chalitza, then you certainly wouldn't think that you're allowed to, it's usher, and you wouldn't do yibam also. So why don't we do that? This is going, no, you can't write that. You wouldn't be able to write that. You know why? Because my COVID. What iser could there be to do chalitza? Even if it's not necessary. So you go, you take the shoe off and you spit in it. What iser is there? Says, no, I love alone. What are you talking about? Of course it should be iser to do it. Because ima ta omer cholet says, misia bemes. If you're going to say she's allowed to do chalitza, then they may say, okay, if I could do chalitza, it must mean that I could do yibam as well. Therefore, back to the original question we asked, that the Mishnah simply could have simply said that it's usher for them to do yibum. It's usher for them to do chalitza. Why don't you just write that it says do chalitza? Answer number two says the Gemara, kevin the makom mitzvah hu da asira tzara, v'shalob makom mitzvah sharia misham hachi tani potros. Since the tzara is only usher to the co-wife's erva, where there's a mitzvah involved, right? Only one's a mitzvah, meaning yibam. But if there were no mitzvah involved, therefore the word pater is used, right? If there were no mitzvah involved, then there wouldn't be any iser going on. If not for the shtickle going on with yibam over here, then there wouldn't be an iser for the tzara to marry the erva of her co-wife. Therefore the word pater is used. So it's not to think that any time they're co-wives, then the tzara will be usher to her co-wife's erva even after the death of their husband, even if it's not a brother of the erva. Example, you have Reuven and Shimon, and Sarah, let's say, is Reuven's daughter, and he's married to Uncle Shimon. She's married to Uncle Shimon, and Rivka is a tzara. It's only then, if Shimon dies, that Rivka is going to be usher to Reuven. But let's, because they're all connected to each other, there's a mitzvah of Yibam there. But if Sarah and Rivka are married to Bob, then the fact that they're co-wives doesn't aser Rivka from marrying Reuven, Rivka's father, Sarah's father, in the event that Bob dies. Therefore, we write the word pater, not aser, so not to think that their relationship automatically always makes her aser to Rivka's erva, i.e., in the case we use, the father. Keep it moving. Next question. Another Gemara wants to know, why does the Mishnah say from Chalitza and Yibam? Just why not just mention from Yibam? Rashi means like, and after all, that's the Iker. That's what he points out. So in my ear, you're the Tani Mina Chalitza Mina Yibam. Listening Mina Yibam L'chudei. Just say that alone. Like we said, the Rashi says, the Hu Iker Mitzvah. He. Chalitza Memela Mishtama. So you don't even have to say it all together. So as a Gemara, no, then we'd be stuck. If we would just write Yibam, then we would think that only Potter, you'd only be Potter for Yibam, but you'd be Chayiv in Chalitza. Therefore, kamash milan, that only if yibum is on the table, then we have chalitz as an option. If not, then not. I would have thought michlat chalitza yabumi leyimabna. Just do chalitza, but not yibum. Kamash milan comes to tell you, kol ha'ola liyibum, ola lechalitza. Anyone who can do yibum can do chalitza. V'kol she'eino ola liyibum, eino lechalitza. Anyone who doesn't do yibum doesn't do chalitza. Frak the Gemara, okay then, but why is it written as chalitza first? Why are you doing that? V'listening mina yibum mina chalitza. It says mina chalitza mina yibum. Let it say mina yibum mina chalitza, which is the ikar. Inami, or else, let it say mina chalitza lechuda. Let it just say lechalitza, you don't have to mention yibum. Says the Gemuri 9, Abba Shaul, he, the Amar, mitzvah chalitza, kodem, so just yibum. Our Mishnah is in line with Abba Shaul, says that chalitza is preferable to yibum, since one needs the proper intention. You'd rather you do chalitza than actually do yibum. Yeah, there's a mitzvah of yibum. But the bottom line is, it's only if you do it properly. The second to last line, Rashi says, Beperka cholitz, we're going to see later on Lamed Tesla Beis, Abba Shaul Omer, Hakonis Yevimto, somebody goes ahead and brings in his brother's deceased wife for himself. In order, the point is to build up your brother's home, and if you did it l'shem noy because she's beautiful, l'shem isha to marry her, then ke'ilu pogeya be'erva, it's like you were doing the wrong thing. Rekarv be'enai lios havlad mamzer, it's close, similar to saying that it's almost like saying the vlad is a mamzer. You're doing it for the totally wrong reasons. Therefore, we want to do it in this particular order, in order that we don't have we say chalitza first and yibum to teach us this principle that's more chas, more important to do, and therefore it has to be said in that particular order, as we wouldn't learn that out, right? To tell us that this is better. If you just would have said what, I wouldn't have learned that destruction. Now that we're saying both, and we say chalitza first, it comes to tell you that chalitza is preferable to yibum. Okay, new question. Fact the Gemara. This is very common, by the way. Whenever we go through, it's very, very normal that when you have a Mishnah, that the Gemara will then go into, start just breaking down, understanding the actual structure of the Mishnah, and the text of the Mishnah, and the order of the Mishnah. That's what you notice that we've been doing right now. So we're going to go a little bit more within that. Minyana de Reisha Lemutei. Why does it say there are 15 women that are going to be putter? So why are you saying that? Whenever you say that, it's Rashi says the Mashma Tasva Vesulo. It sounds like it's 15 and no more. That you're excluding somebody. Uminyana is a safe limitimari. And the number at the end, what is that coming to exclude? Rashi says that Hare Elu Potros, when it says at the end that these things are getting pater, the mashma elu is too low. It's actually a number, but it's referring to like a particular amount and no more. So what are you coming to when he says minyana de racial limitimai? What are you coming to exclude? And minyana is a safe limitimai, what's that coming to exclude? Beep, turn the page. Gimel Oma Beis. Lemeute de Ravas, de Rav de Ravas. This is coming to be Mayat Rav and Ravasi. Rashi says this is going to come up in Daf Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, discussions about that. Rav says that if you have a tzara of someone who is a sota, that we know as a sota is, let's say, a woman who's married and is warned not to go alone in a room with another, alone in an area with another man, and she does, she becomes a sota. And we know that what happens now is that Rav says that the tzara of the sota, she is, and then what ends up happening, let's say the husband ends up dying, so again, you have a man, he's married to two women. One of them behaves in a way where she becomes a sota, and then the man dies and he has no kids. So now both the sota and the tzara don't have to do chalitza and yibum. That's what he states, right? They're off the hook. She's off the hook. Ravasi says that the tzara of an islandess, islandess means a woman who's not able to have any children. She never becomes a gedola, really. She's not able to have any kids. That the tzara of her is going to be also usher to the yavam. So again, you have a man who goes ahead and gets married to an islandess, and he has another wife, and then they die and they have no kids. And both wives don't have to do chalitza and yibum. That's their opinions, and our Mishnah that comes along and he says that these numbers is coming to exclude those opinions and say that is not true. Those people are not off the hook. L'Rav, the Frak the Gemara, L'Rav of Asi Lemute Mai, according to them, who this stuff is included, so what do they say it's coming to exclude? And for the Gemara, if let's say they each hold of each other's drushas about a sota and an islandess, then chada lemaute tsaris mamendis. Then we're going to say that one of the countings of 15 is coming to exclude the tsara of a mamaenes. We discussed this briefly yesterday. What's a mamaenes? This is talking about a ketana that ends up getting married. So if you have a man that gets married, one of his wives is a ketana, and she's like a generally yosoma. There is a case even if she could be yosoma b'chayavia, but let's go with she's yosoma. She ends up getting married through the brother, through the mother, to this man, and then he has another wife also. He ends up dying with no kids. And then after he dies, then the one who is the Yesoma, the daughter, the girl, the young girl, she goes and she decides to decline connection to him at all. That's being mian. She does mian where she separates herself. In such a case, what happens? Then what's going to be the din that the one who did mian and the tzara, they're not allowed to be with the yavam anymore. So what we're doing is we're knocking off. It's coming to exclude this particular case, and it's telling us. But the fact that you're excluding that case means that what the Mishnah is telling us, that even though the tzara doesn't do yibam, she still has to do chalitza. Rashi says, like we discussed a bit previously, that this whole thing is derabbanan to get married, which means that really she can be, the second wife is like she's on her own and she should be able to do yibam. But we go and we say, no, midarabbanan, we say don't do yibam, but you still have to do chalitza because she is connected in some way, shape, or form. V'chada, the other numbering is coming to do what? The other is coming, lamutei tzaras machzir grushaso. This is a case of a guy who marries a woman. He gets divorced from that woman. That woman marries somebody else. Then she gets separated from him. Either the guy dies or she gets divorced. And now he remarries her. That's us. It's called machzir grushaso, at least in the case that's going to be us to do. If he does that, and then he marries another woman as well, and then he ends up dying with no children, so now you say, okay, it goes to the brother, through yibam. In such a case, chadil muti tzars machzir grushaso. Now what's going to happen in such a case that they do not do yibum over there, but they still have to do chalitza? Don't think that our Mishnah is saying you're off the hook entirely. Don't think you're off the hook entirely. Our Mishnah is excluding that case, which means you have to do at least chalitza. Now that's only if Rav and Vasi agree with each other. Vilo srila, but if they actually don't agree with each other, of their drasha about the sota and the islandess, if they don't agree with each other and both of them, then actually comes out to say the following. Chada, one of these numbers of the 15 is lemeute. Why does it have this number coming to my mind? Something is lemeute de chavre, meaning each one of them is going to use that to be might the other ones. Rav will say it's coming to be might the case of Ravasi. Ravasi will say it's coming to be might the case of Rav. In other words, one who says that the sota shtickle is going to be might the case of eyeless, one's might the eyeless, the one says eyeless is going to be might the case of the sota. The chada, and what's the other one going to be left to do? Lemeute ot saris mima enes, ot saris machse gusha. So either one of these cases that we brought up before, the mima enes one, which he still has to do chalitza over there, or the case of machzir grushaso, which also you have to do chalitza, in which case it's being excluded from our Mishnah. Frek the Gemara, we have a problem though in terms, according to Rav and Ravasi, lisninu, why don't they go ahead and they have it in the Mishnah? Rashi says, lisninu lesota va'ilin is bahadei hanach demastisen, holo protes sarasein, according to them, they are included over here, and they're poter, the sarasein, as it's coming to be my something else. So why is it actually written in the Mishnah? It's the Gemara, lefisheino bitsaras tzara. We know about the case that we spoke about yesterday, is that let's say you have Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and then you have, Shimon is married to one of Reuven's daughters, let's say it's Sarah, and to another woman named Rivka. Now Shimon dies, Sarah and Rivka can't go to Reuven. They're because Sarah is the daughter and Rivka is the tzara, so they're done. But they can go on to marry the next brother, Levi. And now let's say Levi has another wife. Let's say Sarah, Rivka, Rachel. So now let's say that Rivka, for some reason, Sarah is out of the picture. And now Levi dies. Now they fall to Reuven. Since the second wife, Rivka, became a tzara to the daughter, and then she was also to him. So now the tzara is tzara, that would be Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, is now also allowed to be to him as well. But so we see that there's such a case of tzara is tzara. But in the case when we're dealing with the sota and the islandess, it's not the same. The sota and the islandess are not actually allowed to marry the other brothers altogether, and therefore you'll never get a case of tzara, so therefore it can't be that it's in our Mishnah. Period, full stop. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go into what we just started this whole day with, and we started the whole Gemara with, and that is that we know that, what did we say? We saw that an erva is going to affect. So again, let's go with the classic case we always like to use. You have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven has a daughter named Sarah. Sarah. And Shimon gets married to Sarah and to Rivka. What ends up happening is that Sarah is now going to pater Rivka as a tzara, and that will also continue on to tzara's tzara ad infinitum. Questions mean on immediately. Where do we learn that out from? So we started today by telling us that we learned it out from Achos Isha, which is why I wanted to know why that wasn't the first case. Now we're going to see that. The Tana Rabbanan. The Pasuk says in Vayikra 18:18, Chai Chai, Isha Elechosa Losikach Litzur Legalus Ervasa Aleha Bechayeha. A man should not take a woman and her sister. So you can't go out and take a woman and then on top of the sister, and lo sikach litzror, in order to make them that they're going to be tsarus one to the next, in order to what legalis ervasa aleh b'chaya, to uncover the nakedness during on her in her lifetime, which means that you can't be with the sister while the other one's still alive. So let's say this guy Reuven marries Sarah, he can now marry Rivka if there's his sister while Sarah's still alive. If Sarah dies, he can marry Rivka, but now she's still alive. So, that's number one. Now, says the Gemara, Aleha matam lomar. Why does the book have to say Aleha? Just say B'chayeh, and then we'll know it. What's Aleha? Lefisha nemar yavama yavo Aleha, since it uses the word Aleha by the case of Yibam, which comes up in Devarim Chafhei. So it says the word yavama yavo Aleha, I would have maybe thought that any one of the, even if it's one of the arayas said in the Torah, that's what the pasuk's talking about. So let's say Reuven and Shimon's married to Reuven's daughter, and then Shimon dies. You would have thought that maybe the daughter falls to him because it says the pasuk says that Yavama Yavo Aleha come upon her. Nemerkan aleha, so therefore in order to get rid of that thought, it says over here the word aleha, but nemer lahalan aleha, it says over there, aleha also, by a man marrying a woman and his sister. What's it coming to tell you? Ma lahalan bimkom mitzvah, just like over there, by the case of Yibam, it's talking about a case of a mitzvah, right? The guy's brother dies, and now his daughter is coming to him. It's a case of a mitzvah of Yibam, af kaba maka mitzvah. So to over here as well, by the case of the sister, it's talking about a case of a mitzvah also. So therefore, two brothers marry two sisters, and one of the brothers dies. Now the sister is going to come to him, and he's going to marry to two sisters. The Amrachmana, what does it say? Lo sikach, don't do it. So what do you see? That you don't take your wife's sister, even when she falls to you in a case where it's going to be a Yibam. So now we know that you don't take an erva, even in a case of Yibam, but you don't have an assay coming to be docha, this los assay, although we're going to see a discussion about this in a minute. So now we want to know, what about a tzara and a tzara tzara? Ve'enli elahi. So I only know that I can't go to take her. No, I can't take the wife's sister. Tzarasa minayin. How do I know I don't take the tzarasa or tzara? Tamad lomer, litzror, to make it into a tzara, into a tzara. We dash there. Rashi says, Tsaros harbe mashma midaloksiv litzor. Why does it say litzor? Vainly elo tsarasa. Now I only know it's talking about the tsara. Tsaros tsarasa. I mean, I don't know the tsara of the tsara. Tamil lomer litzor velo litzor. Okay, that was Rashi, so we saw it already. Okay, vainly elo achosisha. I only know this only seems to be a local issue about a tsaros isha. I'm sorry, achosisha, but my wife's sister and her co-wife's co-wife and all that kind of stuff, that I can't go ahead and do Yibam. Shairai's Manayin, how do I know this applies to all the other cases as well? Amart, so we say like this, Ma Achos Isha Miuchedes. What's unique about Achos Isha? What would be unique about a guy is married to a woman and he has his wife's sister, if he has a relationship with her, she erva, she's an erva to him, usher to him, v'chayavin al zedona kares, if he ends up having a relationship with his wife's sister, on purpose, schayav kares, v'al shigigas, when he did it b'shogig, accidentally, then he's going to be chayav chatas, v'asur liyavim, and she's usher to the yavim. And we see im kozeh that she's going to be usher to do yibum over there. Af kol shehi erva v'chayovim al zdona kares v'al shigigo chata. So to all cases like that, asura liyavim, we also do avim. V'ainli elahein, I only know about them themselves. Tzarasei minayin, how do you know that also applies to the tzarasei and amart? So you say, ma achosisha miyuchad, that's what's the uniqueness of the achosisha, of the sister of your wife, she erva. V'chayavin azdona kares v'al shigyosu chatas v'asura liyavam v'sarasa asura and her tzara is asura. Av kol, it's like a binyan av. We learn from here to spread it to everywhere else. Av kol shi erva v'chayavin azdona kares v'al shigyosu chatas v'asura liyavam sarasa asura. The tzara will also be asur. Mikana v'chacham v'ilcham said chamesh esay nashim potu sarasayin v'tzara sarasayin min hachalitza min hayibam ad sof ha'olam. To understand this next part, just quick intro. We know there's not 15 arayos. There's actually 21 arayos. If we look in the Halakha Teira, we'll find we read about it in Yom Kippur. There's actually an extra 6 ones that we didn't mention. So now the Gemara says, Yachol sheni marba av sheish arayos chamuros me'elu. You would think that it should include the other 6 arayos that are even more chamur, because the 6 arayos that are more chamur means they're not even allowed to be married to you or your brother, even right now. So you should include that also. Sheit sarasein asuro. So let's say someone that your person is not allowed to marry, let's say these women who you're not allowed to marry, your brother's not allowed to marry, that they have a co-wife that they're married to. So you would think, she hates her saying to us, now the isser of you being allowed to be married to this person now is going to transfer over to the co-wife as well. In order to get rid of that, we say the following. Ma achos ishto miuchedes. What's the uniqueness of achos ishto, of your sister's, of your wife's sister? Shehi erva, she is an erva. V'chayav v'malzdonu karis. And if you do the zodin, you're gonna be chayav. If you did it by mitzvah, you sleep with her, you're gonna be chayav karis. Or she goes chatas. If you did it by accident, you're gonna be chayav chatas. V'efshel linasa la'achem, v'asura liyavam. She can be married to one of my brothers. If I am married to my wife, she is a sister. That her sister can marry my brother. And she's going to be also to come to me, even if my brother, if someone, let's say, had a brother named Jack, that what happens is, I don't, by the way, but if I had a brother named Jack and he dies, then that she's also to come to me. Vitzarasasur, and the tzara is also going to be also. Afkolshi erva v'chayav mazonikaris v'al shikigogachathos v'efshalin asul achim basur liyavam tzarasasura. Excluding these ones, you know why? Hold the EF Shalina Salachim Sarasein Mutar. Since they're not able to marry the other brothers, therefore the Tsars are going to be Mutar. Shein Sara Ella Me'ach. The only time a Tsara will actually be usher to come into the family is if it's a Tsara of someone that could have been married to the brother and the Yibam would actually come into effect. So in this case, it doesn't come into effect. Therefore, the Tsara doesn't become Aser and it's going to be Mutter to marry into the fam. And just to finish up this Braisa, it says Azhara Shamanu. Okay, so we learned Azhara. It means the Isser. To go ahead, we know that in the Torah, we have to have both an Azhara and an Onus that are mentioned. So we learn the Azara, that is the Isser of going ahead and taking an Erva or the Tzara when it comes to Yibam. Onesh Binayin, where do we learn that? The Onesh, what Pasuk? Amar Kra, Ki Kol Asher Yaseh Mikol HaToevos. The Pasuk is saying that if anyone commits any of these Toevos, abominations, then Asher Yaseh Mikol, Kol, meaning in plural, meaning the people that are doing it, are going to be cut off from Bnei Yisrael. So the fact that he says that the people that are going to be doing it, they have it in Lashon Rabbim, in plural, that's coming to teach that the woman also is going to be chayev, both of them, the woman and the man. So if someone takes an erva or takes the tzara and gets involved in yibam, they're going to be chayev kares. Okay, my friends, we are going to stop over here. I want to wish all y'all a great, great day.